League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
ESPN 97.5.
Good name. Totally fits.
A Gao Media Station. KFC, Mont Bellevue, Houston. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Joel, Nick, and Barry till 4, very draft-centric today for obvious reasons, but we do want to stick with the program that we started a few weeks back before I hit vacation, which is the Big Three with JB, which we're going to do 3 o'clock on Fridays, thanks to the genius of Barry Laminack. So if we're going to do the Big Three with JB, we might as well do it at 3. And so without further ado...
I don't know why you guys did 3:30.
Once again, in Barry's mind, we're idiots, Nick.
I mean, I wasn't going to say idiots, but I'm glad you did.
There it is. The usual idiots with me and Nick, and the genius of Barry Laminack to save us from drowning.
Of course.
Hey, by the way... Without further ado...
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Yeah, my bad.
This is the Big Three with JB. Take one.
So we're on to round two. Let's forget about the MVP discussion. It's in the rearview mirror. There's a reason why the windshield is bigger than the rearview, because there are bigger fish to fry and a longer road to hoe. That means no slow starts. Get off to quick starts. I don't care if you get beer, nachos, and hot dogs for a buck a piece. I don't care what it takes, but from a team perspective, you have got to step up. You can't afford to dig yourself a hole, and you cannot be playing from behind against a team as talented as the Spurs.
Take two.
You have got to shoot the three effectively. Two of their three worst shooting games of the year, especially from downtown, came against the Spurs defense. And Greg Popovich is going to throw a monkey wrench at you that you haven't seen before. Therefore, they've got to shoot it confidently. They've got to shoot it effectively. And the role players and the starters, not named James Harden, have got to step up.
Take three.
To win this series, they just have to be able to tread water in the low post. LaMarcus Aldridge doesn't look like the same player. I don't think he scares me as much as he did when he was a Blazer. But the fact that they can go double post and high post, low post with Gasol and Aldridge means Capella and Nene have got to be able to stay out of foul trouble and put their butts and bodies on those two big guys to try and prevent them from going off. If the Rockets are capable of doing this, it should be a long series, a competitive series, and a series that they can possibly win.
That was the Big Three with JB.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering how much of an impact LaMarcus Aldridge would be on the Rockets in the first game. I think his play is going to be really important. Kind of like what Kevin McHale said that on the show or last week. But yeah, I think Aldridge is going to be huge. And Capella and Nene, they've got to play well too. So it'll be interesting to see.
Have you guys noticed this though? And I was going to ask, Aldridge to me looks like an afterthought. I mean, he just looks like he's not even engaged in it. And here's a guy that chose the Spurs, could have chosen anywhere to go, chose the Spurs. This was the team that he wanted to, you know, have a long run with. And I don't know if he's bitter that Kawhi Leonard is the man and that he expected that when Duncan retired that it would be his team or what it is, but he looks like a shell of what he was when he was with Portland or when everyone was, you know, he was the highest and most sought after free agent out there.
He was so dominant. I don't know what's happened. It's strange. I remember thinking, boy, it would be great if the Rockets were to make a move and go get Aldridge back in the day when he was lighting them up in Portland. But kind of glad they didn't. Now, what is he averaging points wise?
In hindsight, you're right though. I mean, 14? Thank God they didn't.
No, your superstar, your second superstar, is averaging 14 a game in the playoffs.
The only way you can counter that is by saying, would you rather have him or Dwight Howard?
Well, right now, he's playing about the same, isn't he? What was Howard averaging?
Howard's getting double-doubles in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But offensively...
I'd rather have Aldridge.
Yeah, Aldrich is a better offensive player.
I mean, Howard is he's past his prime. There's no doubt about that. I don't even see where he's listed in here. Yeah, I was trying to compare the two, but they're not making
it
easy.
They play tonight, Washington, and Washington can close out the Hawks if they win. Dwight hasn't been bad, but Dwight has been Dwight. You can get his double-doubles, but at the same time, is he worth $25 million a year? Is he giving you superstar-type presence as well as stats and everything that he does? No.
Definitely not. He's averaging 7.8 points a game in the playoffs. Dwight is, yeah.
And rebounds are double digits, right?
Where's the rebound category, my friend?
I'm pretty sure he is, but he's had a couple double-doubles. And
he is averaging 11.4 rebounds.
I said all along, if you can get Dwight Howard on a $9 million deal, it's a great value. But at $25 million a year, for the fact that not only is his numbers going to be what they are, what you just said, but he's also going to bellyache quite a bit about his lack of touches and the fact that they don't run enough through him. That's a headache.
And do you want him to start? Because you know he's not going to want to be in a backup position, but do you even want him to start? I don't even know if you want him to start anymore. He's getting to that point in his career where you might just want to...
Does he get every other game off to rest his knees so that he can run? Otherwise, he doesn't fit the system at all. That's why, look, I think that was the kiss of death. And again, the Rockets kind of doing what we were just talking about with the interns. You know, instead of being too nice, they were too nice, but they basically said, we know how we can clear up this whole situation and this whose team is it anyway. We're going to hire the guy that basically was the reason why Dwight wanted out of L.A. And once you bring Mike D'Antoni in here, Dwight basically gets the message loud and clear, and he also probably has voiced the fact that if you get him, I don't want to play for him. Well, then, hey, you know what? It's written in the sand, and thanks for playing.
See ya.
Yeah.
You think the Aldridge thing has anything to do with what he had happen earlier with the heart? Was it a heart arrhythmia?
Yeah, it was a form of arrhythmia. I don't think so, simply because he had it happen once before.
Okay.
I don't think that's part of it. I just think, as you know, how we were talking about Tack McKinley and his ticker,
yep,
and how his drive, and he's just got that I want to be out there kind of enthusiasm and drive. I just don't see. I see him as a very laid back guy. And it might work if not for the fact that your best player is also a very, very laid-back guy.
Yeah.
You know, if you need someone with another personality, the best can feed off each other.
Like Damian Lillard.
Exactly right. Yeah. Right? Yeah. And then that's where I think he thought he was playing second fiddle to Lillard, and San Antonio, UT guy, the whole works.
Replacing Duncan.
He figures, he would be the guy that... Yeah. Becomes the man when Duncan leaves, and then Kawhi just exploded.
Yep. Oh, by the way, I wanted to tell you guys, I figured out how to mute texts now.
Oh.
And can I just tell you how happy I am?
Like on the listener line?
Yeah, so the one that today that was just acting like a weirdo when I was, you know, when we were doing the intern thing.
Don't have to put up with that no more?
Can't see his text now. It's a beautiful thing. Oh, it's such a beautiful thing.
Blocked.
I love it. Not blocked. And I think it goes like, I think like for some reason, I don't know if it's like a, but I'm sure like I'll be able to see them again on Monday or whatever. But for the day, for some reason, you just hide the conversation.
And then you can go back and take it off again.
Yeah. And they're gone for now. So, oh God, this has opened up a whole new world for me.
Is this liberating for you?
Oh! You know, other than closing it, which I don't want to do because the majority of the texts, I know we lament and we joke and we bitch and all that, but the majority of the texts that come in here are good and fun and funny, and we don't get to them all, but I appreciate them all. But for the one or two D-bags that just, for some reason, get off.
Oh, I think there's definitely some satisfaction involved in every time they send one.
They do it to the Blitz. I mean, you can read the Granado text. It's just these weirdos that get off on, I don't know. I don't know what they do.
When their life sucks, they need to take it out on somebody else, and we are those people.
Yeah. yes, now people are posting side-by-side pictures of me and MC Search from third base.
That's way old news.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's not even close. I went to the mall yesterday just to get off. We'll get back to sports, I promise, but I just had to tell you, Nick dropped me off at the Galleria like I was a 12-year-old. Because I was like, well, I don't want to take my backpack and I'll leave it here. And
now make sure you have your phone, Barry, and call me if anything happens.
So I was like, Uncle Nicky, can I get a ride to the mall? And he was like, yeah, I guess, get in. And then he dropped me off. But I literally just walked around the mall for hours, just bored.
My wife, hoops?
Yeah, hours. I came back to the station at 7:05. What time did you drop me off? 4:30?
Like 4:15?
Yeah. I spent almost 3 hours at the mall. But I like going because I like to people watch. As a comic, I need material. Mm-hmm. And if you never get out and do anything, it's really difficult to just get new material and to see things and observe the world. And the one thing I did see, and I'm not even going to make this into a joke, but it made me start thinking about it, was how much crap a guy will put up with if he thinks there's a chance he could sleep with a woman.
Oh, it's without incredible.
Because I'm walking by, and there's this dude, and we kind of were walking side by side, but not really. You know, I'm walking a little faster. But there's this dude, and he is dressed to the nines. Like, he's got his new shoes on. He's got his best jeans. Like, he's got that nice shirt. He's even looking down. You know how you can tell when people are checking out themselves to see if they look okay? Because they look down a lot. You ever notice that? Mm-hmm. How people, like, look at their mm-hmm. shoes. They look at their pants. Well, this dude is doing that. And the whole time he's doing that, next to him is this hot, hot chick. But she's just blah, 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 blah. I mean, just will not shut up.
Talking to him?
Yes.
Okay.
And she's just like, and then what? And then they came over, and then we went on a date, and I told her, and, blah, 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 and she just cackling like a hen, just nonstop. And this dude's just like, uh-huh, uh-huh. And the whole time I'm thinking, he is only putting up with this crap because he wants to sleep with her. Like, because she's talking about dating some dude or going on a date with this dude. And all he's thinking is, yeah, bitch, keep going because I'm going to be that rebound. Just keep talking. Keep going. I'm here when you need me. You know what I mean? Like, oh. And
or
I thought,
when you're needed.
Yeah. And I thought, that is a dude. That's a persistent dude. That dude will get that ass one day. Like, he is persistent. He's willing to walk around the Galleria with a chick complaining about a date. Just toughing it out.
So it literally, you heard it that it was literally about a date with someone else?
Yes, because I approached and then I kind of walked past and I wasn't walking too fast, but I could see her just jabbering. And he's just like, I'm a married man. I know sometimes, you know what I mean? I know my wife comes home and wants to tell me about her day.
Oh, yeah.
And we all know, every married man can tell you that. Sometimes we're just like,
So Nick.
And they want to talk. So it was that mode that he was in and she was in. But to sit there and listen to a woman bitch about a date, like, bro, you have dug the trench. You're waiting this war out. Like, you're gonna win this.
Is this the same situation that you were talking about that you saw the hot chick and you were gonna say after you drop your kids off at home that you'd be back? That you saw the girl at the mall yesterday?
Not following.
Once you picked your son up from the mall at 7:05 and dropped him back off, that you'd be back to try and clean it up for her?
Man, I went straight and did my own thing. I don't know what Barry was doing. He was probably just...
I went to the mall, and here's the thing. I don't know, we got to go to break, but I'm so weird. I'll go to the mall. I'll try on 1,000 things. Like,
that's
tried
annoying,
on...
Because then, like, you
got... But that's why I go by myself. Because I'm just like... Because I don't buy clothes very often, but when I do, I'm very picky and I'm particular. So I have to... It has to look... Like, because I don't dry my clothes, so it's got to look right when I wear it. So I try on a ton of stuff. I don't just go buy a large shirt. Like, I try on everything. I left with one pair of sweatshorts. 3 hours! I left with a pair of sweatshorts that I got for like $13.
You're labeling yourself now.
What?
You're giving people ammunition?
Oh, I know what I'm doing.
Because I'm just
care.
Saying, because like, my whole thing care. Is, if I'm going to do with that, if I'm going to go try stuff on, I'm wearing like gym shorts and a t-shirt. Because if you got to constantly do the belt and the jeans and the socks and all
it's
that,
true.
I'm like, that's annoying.
Smart
that,
move.
All that.
Annoying.
All that.
Just too much, too time
I take
consuming.
Pictures of the outfits and post
them
on Pinterest.
Lord.
I don't do that.
I can see you doing that.
I can actually see him doing it, too.
I don't do that.
With his shoes.
I don't even have a Pinterest account anymore.
And then go to the makeup counter to make sure he got the right balance in his cheeks if he got a certain color.
Yeah, I can see that, too. Yeah. I don't know what that means, but I can totally see what Seabury doing
what
that.
What the hell is balance in the cheeks? Now look who's probably done
that.
I have no idea what that meant.
I just figured, you know, when chicks have to wear a certain makeup based on if they got tan or they got a certain color on. I know Lisa deals with that TV stuff.
Okay.
All right, we got to go to break.
Hey, why don't we do that? I can. She's out of town. All right, so we've got plenty more to get to before the end of the show. If you want to join us, 713-780-ESPN. Hit us up on Twitter, The Usual Suspects, right here on ESPN 97.5.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.
Chill, not on the side, it's the ego become.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Joel, Nick, and Barry till 4 as we continue to roll on. Got some draft coverage, got a little NBA out of the way. Your Stros with a heartbreaker, as Chris Devinsky proved he is human. And after getting out of two jams with runners on base and nobody out, he gave up a bomb to Lindor. Was it bottom of the seventh, and a one-run lead was turned into a one-run deficit. And then in the ninth, they used Altuve to lead off the inning. He got an infield hit, then got the steal sign and got thrown out. Then multiple hits followed, and yet no runs were scored, and they ended up stranding two guys on base and lose by one.
Altuve's base running is really pissing me off. He got picked off twice in one game.
Yeah.
Getting thrown out.
Now,
stealing.
You don't think he's running on his own. I mean, he definitely probably got the sign from the Hinch probably sent in the steal sign.
I think he has the go sign no matter what. I think if Altuve wants to steal at any point in any game at any time, he's allowed to.
I don't disagree with that, but in that situation.
But yeah, I think, yeah, he was probably told, hey, if you weren't thinking about going, you need to go ahead and go.
Mm-hmm.
But damn. I'll
tell you what, the throw.
Astros, that's my big gripe.
Yan
with
Gomes
guys.
Made two very impressive throws from behind the dish last night. One Tony Pena style from his ass cheek. And the other one, where they were debating whether it was the right pitch to run on or not, it was essentially like a pitch out. I mean, and he just all snap throw and boom, right on the bag.
How you liking Reddick leading off?
I'm not a big fan.
No?
No.
Okay.
No, not a big fan at all. And they're definitely missing. You know what I noticed, though? And I guess maybe that's a signal that you've arrived as a team. There was and I think at one point Blummer even mentioned it, there was a lot of fist pumping and extra celebration by the Indians on everything they did in that series. Like, they knew that this was a bigger series than most, but even Lindor going around the bases was like doing the Kirk Gibson and pointing to the dugout and all that. And you know, even Gomes, when he threw a guy out, was like doing the Tiger Woods. They were pretty jacked up about that.
Yeah, see, I didn't watch it, but I could see that. I mean, I think they realized, you know, this is one of those matchups that people are looking at as, all right, which I don't know. Springer didn't play, right?
Nope.
Mm-mm. And Altuve sat out again?
He did, but pinch hit in the ninth.
Okay, so he had the one pinch. Right. That's right, yeah. So it's not really.
That's what I was going to say. The injuries make Houston look better because they're not playing them at full strength, and yet, you know, they were right there and arguably could have swept the series?
Somebody was asking what's the deal with. Yeah, they probably could have.
Yeah.
Put it this way.
At least two of them.
This doesn't. Yeah, so far, seeing this early on, I'm not as concerned that if they face, you know, Cleveland for a pennant or anything like that. That doesn't worry me.
Right.
I think that they can hang with any team in the American League thus far.
For sure.
Especially with the pitching they're getting. Somebody was asking me, what's the deal with Correa? Why is he sucking so bad?
I was going to bring that up to you.
Uh-huh.
Not that he was sucking so bad. But you know what? And I've noticed this once before in his career, especially in big-time situations with runners in base, he looks at the first pitch every time, and most times that's the best pitch he's going to see. And in some cases, he takes two. And I'm like squeezing through whatever you know is nearby going, oh, my God, you just let two really hittable pitches go by, and now you're going to have to play defensive hitting. Try to protect the plate.
Yeah, it's a great point. Taking that first one, I get sometimes, you know.
See a new pitcher.
Yeah, but man, I hate it too. Nothing drives me crazy more insane than when they start taking a couple of pitches early and get behind in the count because of it. And now you got to battle back.
And you're more defensive.
And you know, I don't know what it is. I think you can just chalk it up to maybe he's pressing a little bit.
I agree with that.
He at one point, I think about midway through, he was up in the 280s. About 10 games in, he's about 219 now. He's had a few offers, but you know, again, he's only going to hit average wise 270. So it's going to happen. I'm not worried about Correa. The guys you need to worry about are the role players. You know what I mean? When you see if you see Bregman continuing to
not exactly
plummet,
ripping the cover.
He's 244, but Marwin Gonzalez hitting 204. Those are the kind of guys you should be more worried about, not the stars.
But be happy with Aoki.
I love
Nori
Aoki.
Can play.
Dude. I love Aoki.
Yeah.
I can't wait. I can't wait till Blummer uses Aoki Pokey on air. That will make me. That will make me the happiest man on the planet.
Do the Aoki Pokey and
yeah.
However that song
can't
goes.
Can't wait. Maybe that's.
I can't
make a
wait
shirt.
For this next call. It's probably a setup call because it's your boy. So.
Oh snap!
Mr. Current Cuts is on hold. So we're going to talk NBA.
Today.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
The joy in Mudville is back. We'll be back with much more of the usual suspects. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Joel, Nick, and Barry till 4, Usual Suspects continuing to roll on before Fred and AJ come through the door, along with Jong, as the Blitz gets going at 4 o'clock. I'm a little bit leery of this call, but we'll see. My boy Jason's on the hold. Jason, your new barber and friend, is wanting to talk some NBA. Jace, what's up?
What's up, what's up, what's up, Joel?
How you doing, man?
Good, good, good.
Yeah, I heard you got a new best friend now.
<What's>... See, I already told you, you quick to put titles on stuff, man.
Hey, I did tell him I can't believe he would make a recommendation for me to go use someone that he's never used before, and that it's a damn shame he's never gone and gotten a haircut from you. And you know what he said, Jason? He was like, yeah, what's but I don't, he can't cut my hair. I'm like, we had a 10-minute discussion as I sat in your chair about being able to cut white people's hair and how it's no different.
So, Jace, as my partner normally does, he leaves out a lot of the details to try and make me look bad.
That's all that happened, Jason.
What I was able to do was say, look, for one, I recommend you because, A, you're my friend, and, B, because all of my friends that go to you continually go to you over and over again and rave about you. I also said that I'm trying to hang on to every single follicle that I have, and that I don't have the same kind of hair as Barry has, and I have cowlicks and all these other things. So it should be no detriment to anyone involved if I haven't actually been there, but the fact that I'm willing to give the recommendation means I stand by your work.
Well, I appreciate that, Joel. I appreciate that. I still think you should come see me. But...
Oh, I will. Jason, I still will do it.
Jason, he said he has cowlicks. Like, you've never seen or cut hair of a white dude that had a cowlick, right?
Man, I had one yesterday that was crazy.
See?
And then he wanted a discount, right?
Joe, you need to go get this haircut.
He wanted a discount too, Jace?
Who, Barry?
No, the guy with the cowlicks.
Oh, no. I don't do too many discounts.
I know. See, and then it's disturbing, Jace, because he comes back and says, oh, yeah, he was dishing all kinds on you and dogging you out, and I got the dirt on you. I'm like, see, that's just not right.
But I didn't tell him what. Like, you know what I mean? I know the rules. I didn't say what. I just said I got all the dirt, which scared him, which was the whole point.
Hey, you got to keep what's said in the barber chair. Got to stay in the barber chair, Bear.
Trust me, he doesn't know.
Here we go.
Here we go,
Jace. All right, so what's on your mind, Mr. Basketball? What do you want to talk about?
Well, I'm a little nervous about playing these Spurs. I don't know, man. I was thinking six games, but. I don't know. All the games the Rockets played against the Spurs, were pretty close, they're winnable. Even the ones they lost by a couple points, they were, last second shots or like a defensive play at the end away from actually winning that game. I missed what you guys said a little bit earlier, but I'm a little nervous about playing the Spurs. But the Rockets got the hardest road to get to the championship.
There's no doubt about that, but I assume what you're saying is you are talking as if the Rockets are going to win the series?
Well, let me say this. Me and the Rockets have been together for a while. We broke up after they fired Bickerstaff, and then they hired D'Antoni. And we just broke up. I put all my Rockets hats up and everything. And then things kind of started changing around. We started back dating again, and you know, we went out for a cup of coffee and started talking a little bit more, and we're back together now.
Okay.
So I have no choice but to ride with my Rocket.
All right, I like it.
Like, Jace, I moved out the same time you did, but I just found a side piece and moved on. But but at the same time, look, I mean, we had Mario Ellie on the other day, and the thing you got to be most concerned about is the fact that Pop doesn't give a rat's ass about the regular season, and he's going to hold some things back and throw some monkey wrenches that you haven't seen before come playoff time. And that's why in the segment that we did with the Big Three with JB, the big thing that you got to focus on is – this is not the Oklahoma City Thunder anymore. This is a balanced team. This is a more talented team, a more athletic team on the perimeter, and a team that possesses two guys that can play in the low post. So you can't do the slow starts. You can't rely on just James Harden and the bench. The starters that haven't been contributing have to step up, and they've got to find a way when the ball, you know, execution in the final 5 minutes is going to be paramount because of the fact that the Spurs are so, they're such a precision, well-oiled machine when it comes time to execute down the stretch.
I agree. I mean, the last, like, five, even maybe less than that, four or five minutes, we don't execute well. And you can see it. We have great third quarters. Even the first half for the fourth quarter is pretty solid. But then at the end, I don't know, it's like we just go away from everything that was working throughout the whole game.
That's not a slam on your fiance. That's the fact that they just aren't as experienced as the Spurs. I mean, the Spurs are, you know, a happy couple of 25 years, and they know what to do when the, you know, when the lights are brightest or when they go downtown, if you know what I mean.
Oh, so that's your side piece, the Spurs?
No, it's not. It's not. But I don't give up my personal information on air, but I just said, you know, you moved out when JB left, and I moved out about the same time. I just didn't start. I didn't start dating again right away.
I guess you're right.
Appreciate the call, Jason. All
right, man. I'll see you in a little bit.
All right, man. All right, brother. Have a good weekend. Jason Rowland, friend of the show.
5:15.
There you go. So you're going to fight traffic, huh?
Well, I leave here at 4. That's why I was like, hey, you got it. Because it's
oh, you're heading that way anyway, though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. I mean, kind of. Yeah. I'm going to hit him up and then get that touch up before I go out of town next week. Y'all going to miss me.
Tell him he's got to start showing up at the gym again. Once he got married, he quit playing basketball.
I wanted to ask him if that was him I saw walking in the mall talking to the Rockets. He's like, I'm kind of back with her, but I'm not really. Yeah, I know. I get it, player. I get it. Ah, good times. I've got a couple texts. Do you mind if I read these?
So go right ahead.
Okay. Jesus wants a shout out, so you got it, Jesus. That was from the text line. Someone wanted to know, Dr. Dre on 290 wanted to know what was the race of the dude and the race of the chick at the mall.
Okay.
They were both African American. I don't know what that has to do with anything, but
I don't either.
Someone said that was called the friend zone that dude was in. Someone wants to know if I have any stand-up videos. Yeah.
You posted
one. No. Yeah, but, well, he wants to know if I have any shows coming up. Yeah, June 1st through the 3rd. So hang tight, and I'll have some tickets to give away and stuff as that gets closer. Where did it go? Oh, yeah. You guys are the Michael Jordan of sports radio because they finally got rid of that gay NFL draft promo on the web stream. Thank you. All texting, no tweeting, sending that one in. So, all right, I got through them. That was it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought that we were going to get some more mad love, but I mean.
No.
Boy, that promo was awful.
The muting has been beautiful, though.
You like that, huh?
I like it.
Are you still keeping the flow chart on the bad numbers that send nasty things?
Yeah, I'm up to 4. Well, okay. Yeah, I'm up to 4.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, we've rolled on to this point. We have one segment left to go before we turn it over to the Blitz. So if you want to get in on the show, please do, 713-780-ESPN, or hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4, the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, in our never-ending effort to make sure that we bring you the top quality programming of a lifetime, even when we're up against it. Kevin McHale, who did the game last night between the Spurs and the Grizzlies, and if you forgot or were under a rock, also knows your Rockets pretty well. He joins us now as he's now finally back home after his whirlwind excursion through the country covering the NBA. Coach, thanks for joining us, spending a few minutes with us. We appreciate it. Your thoughts last night on a Spurs team that looked to be on the ropes for three quarters and then poured it on, and now their matchup with the Rockets.
Yeah, you know, I don't think the Spurs are playing great offensively right now, but, you know, Kawhi's there's a tough matchup. He made great plays on the stretch, made a regular three-point play on the right baseline, then made a little right slot three for 6 points when they were down 7 or 8 and kind of got him right back in the game. But their ball movement's not there. I just don't see the ball movement, the clicking, the body movement that has made the Spurs really a hard team to guard. A little more ISO, a little bit more one-on-one than you're used to that team. And I just think part of it is, you know, Mono doesn't play as much. Tony, a lot of those guys that were just movers and just the way they play, they're not quite there offensively. So that would concern me. And that when last night that, you know, I really thought Memphis had a chance to beat them. But, you know, they locked down on defense enough. They got stops when they wanted to. They've got guys that have won championships on that team. So they have the ability to, you know, to make big plays. And they won the game last night. As far as moving forward with Houston, yeah, I think they're going to, I mean, Houston's got a chance. Now, if you said, you know, Houston won 55, I think Spurs won 61-62. So, I mean, they're two of the top teams in the Western Conference. My big thing with Houston is they're going to play the same style all the time. They're going to get it up and down. They're going to shoot a lot of threes. If they have four games where they really, you know, are making, because you really can't take away that three-point shot from them. They get them in just a myriad of ways, you know, break, offensive rebounds, throwouts, James driving, kicking out. They're going to shoot a bunch of them. If they have four games where they make, you know, 14, 15, 16, 17 threes, it's hard to beat a team when they're doing that. And I'm just not sure the Spurs offense is slowing enough. Now, the last point I'll make, how much of that was the Grizzlies' defense that was really stifling them versus just the Spurs not looking good. So the Houston does not play as good defense as the Grizzlies, so that's one thing to look at.
Along those lines, Coach, I was going to ask you, how much of that was the Thunder defense, or was it just Rockets' poor shooting from behind the three-point line?
I thought they had some good looks. You know, I just think you're in an ebb and flow with your shooting. If you think you're going to have seven great shooting nights in a 14-day period, just, you know, when you're playing every other day, which they're going to start doing now more or less, it's just not going to happen. That's just not the way you shoot. Like, if you're a 50% shooter, you don't shoot 7 for 14 from the field every night. You go 11 for 14, then you go 3 for 14, then you go, you know what I mean, then you go 7 for 14. It changes all the time. So the Rockets aren't going to have seven games where they just absolutely shoot lights out, but they're going to have enough games. And as far as, you know, the Thunder, I thought they had some pretty good shots. They just, you know, they missed them, but all of a sudden they got on some rolls where bam, 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 they make three in a row. They're explosive. They, you know, with the style they play, they can string together some threes, and so I think you're always in the game. And again, I think the Spurs defense will bother them some, but they get their threes in, just like I said, in a myriad of different ways, so it's hard to take them all away. It just comes down to, honestly, you know, can they get on some hot? Do they have four games in them where they can, you know, where they can bust out 16 for 37, you know, 17 for 40 from the 3-point line? That's hard to beat a team when they do that.
Well, Coach, I've been watching them up close because I knew that was going to be the Rockets matchup. And the next question for me was the simple question was, are they ripe for the picking? But more importantly, that is not the same LaMarcus Aldridge. I brought this up a little while back in the show today, but watching him play, as opposed to the guys that you got, the guy that you were hotly pursuing to try and get to join your team a few years ago, I don't know if he's just disinterested. I don't know if he was expecting that when Duncan retired, he'd be the man, and now because of the emergence of Kawhi, that he just doesn't feel as much a part of it. He seems disengaged at times on the floor, and he definitely is not the same guy you faced in the playoffs with the Blazers.
Well, it's not nearly as he's not looking to get over that left shoulder and shoot that right-handed jump hook nearly as much. As I always thought was his best shot. Kind of he got fouled on that. I just think he settles a lot. If you can be really aggressive with him like Zeebo was prior to him catching the ball, the more aggressive you are before he catches the ball, the less aggressive he is in attacking you. The lower you let him get the ball and the easier you let him get the ball, the more he attacks you. So, I thought that the Grizzlies did a really nice job, especially Zach Randolph, who's a tough guy who just keeps on hitting you. He pushed him out, and you're right. I agree. He was not the same player. There's no question. He just is he settles for way more jump shots. He can make them. Like last night in the second half, he went to the offensive glass. Started off, if for those who watched the game, he had three bunnies around the hoop. Missed the putback dunk. Missed a little, just a lay-in, overlays it. And then he just short arms, like a one-foot shot. And I was like, oh, my goodness. But from that point on, he played more aggressive. So, I really think that, for him, he has to have a big series. And then, Tony Parker last night was fantastic. He had 27 points. Can Tony do that, or can Mono come in? I just don't know if they can score enough. Honestly, I think Houston's offense, I do think San Antonio is ripe, but put a big preface on there. That team, they've won championship. Kawhi Leonard, you're talking Tony and Manu, and they got Danny Green. They've got a bunch of guys on that team that maybe have another level that they can access if they have to. And we'll see. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a fun series. I really think it's going to be a competitive series. I'd be shocked if one team just boat races the other one out of the gym for four games. I think we're going to have a long series. It should be fun.
Kevin McHale joins us on the HRMP hotline. All right, Coach, speaking of series, who closes it out tonight and who keeps it going? Washington, Boston, and Utah all have 3-2 leads.
Yeah.
Who closes it out?
I would say the biggest chance of closing out to me would be Utah. I did the Clipper-Utah game, and the Clippers are just really not nearly as dynamic without Blake Griffin, which is, I'm sure that's not a shock to anybody. But what they don't get his speed, getting a defensive rebound and pushing it. They don't get his running the floor, collapsing the defense. They don't get as many step-in jump shots for the guards, whether it be Jamal Crawford, J.J. Redick, or whoever, just because he's running in out. They are not a dynamic team without him. And they're, Chris Paul has been playing great. I don't think Chris Paul can play any better. J.J. Redick's been up and down. He had a good game. But Utah just kind of comes out. I talked about Houston playing the same way every night. They shoot a lot of threes and stuff. Utah does the same thing. They come out and they are going to shoot more shots under 5 seconds on the shot clock than you can shake a stick at. So those first three or four or five passes in their offense are just non-threatening passes. They're getting the clock down. The game gets slowed down. They're able to kind of keep you from running. They get back in transition very well. They're just really kind of they're a unique team in today's day and age. They will shoot a lot of threes, in their offense, but they shoot everything late. So there's not a lot of these big spurts, these bam, 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 bam. So I just don't see the Clippers beating them. I could see Atlanta beating Washington. I really could. I could see that going to seven games. I think Boston kind of has righted the ship, and they had such a, it was just such a sad, sad thing with Isaiah Thomas and just the tragic loss of his sister and the whole thing. That affected the entire franchise. I think everybody, those first couple of games in Boston were like, oh man. They weren't themselves, and how could you be? I mean, you just can't be. But when Rajon Rondo lived in the paint for the Bulls, just lived in the paint, and that collapses your defense. They don't have that now. They don't, Isaiah Cannon, ex-Rocket, he shoots the ball, but if he gets in the paint, believe me, he's not passing. He's a shooter. And that's what Isaiah Cannon does, is that he shoots, and he's playing now, starting for the Bulls. And, I see tonight Utah and, Utah and Boston winning, and I could see Atlanta taking this thing to Game 7.
Well, we're running out of time, Coach, so we appreciate it. We're going to get your thoughts next week on the fact that you put the owner of the Rockets up to berating officials, and so we're going to get your take on
that.
Yeah,
how about that? What do you say? Because he got a standing O from the lady behind him. I thought the lady behind him, he gave him a standing ovation.
So, I think it was more about the fact that he told the referee if he kept calling a bad game that he'd have to do more dollar nacho beer and hot dog night.
Well, that got him right on his game. I promise you. At that moment, once he said that, that referee turned around and he reffed a good game after that. That scared anybody.
I'm not mentioning Bill Kennedy, but I want you to have a great weekend, and hopefully if your schedule slows down, we'll catch you in the middle of the week next week.
You got it, fellas. Take care.
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, Coach.
That's Kevin McHale on the HR&P hotline as he joins us every week, and we're going to tell you guys to have a great weekend. Enjoy the rest of the draft. Catch up on your Astros, and Barry and myself and Nick will all be on the air next week. Albeit, yes. Barry using some technology.
Yeah, I'll be gone I'm doing the show Wednesday and I'll be gone. But yeah, nothing's going to change. We'll still be here.
Damn it. Okay. So we'll have a great weekend. Hopefully you do too. And the usual suspects 1 to 4 every Monday through Friday right here on ESPN 97.5.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.